Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Fly Girl Show. I am Casey Grant, and I'm the host of the Fly Girl Show. And today's show is going to be interesting and entertaining. If you're like I am and like the rest of the world, we have been experiencing something we have never had to do before, and that is staying in. And if you're single, you've been by yourself. If you're with someone, you've had to look at that person every day. And hopefully that's working out well. But if not, we're going to be able to talk about some things that's happening, different issues that people are now talking to each other about, and how we have been dealing with this isolation, with this pandemic. And it really has been more than I've had to handle. I had a little slight depression, and I think even Michelle Obama was stating that she had a little slight depression. So it's real. And as I wrote up on the website, you are not alone, and it is for you to reach out and touch and talk to somebody about what you might be experiencing, because we need this human touch. We need to be able to communicate with each other. I was reading and doing a little research before I bring on my guest, who is a retired Delta flight attendant and also a registered nurse. So before we get into this conversation and we take some callers, because the switchboard is really lit up, so I'm glad that this is a topic of interest, she is not an authority. She is in the medical field. So anything that we are going to say today, this is from personal experience, our research, or a combination of both. So I just wanted to make sure we all understood that, because she's not professing to be a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but she is in the medical field, so we will honor her opinion on everything. And so one of the things that I looked up, and I want to just kind of make a statement about this pandemic, we all have opinions about how it's handled. We all understand how we've been devastated economically and socially, but we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this, and hopefully this show is going to give you some pointers. So with that long introduction, allow me to bring in my friend, Miriam Beckett. Hello there, my darling. How are you doing today?
Hello, Casey. I'm doing well, and I thank you for having me this morning. I am honored to be with you, as always, and I feel very invigorating. The sun is shining beautifully here in Atlanta today, so I know this is going to be a very blessed day.
And that's exactly what I wanted to say today, too, for Chicago. The sun is shining and the leaves are turning. I mean, it's enough to make you get out and just try to get an attitude adjustment if for no other reason. And so one of the reasons that I was interested in having you on for your expertise is because in just in our conversation, we're talking with each other, and you even giving me some words of wisdom when I was having a down week last week, is that people have been calling you, and they've been telling you how they are handling this depression, and so, or this shut-in and the pandemic and the effects of it. So, and let me allow you to give the audience a little background about your medical field, that you were, you know, a registered nurse, and how you have been, I don't want to say overwhelmed, but how your friends have been able to reach out to you and ask you what are some of the questions or some of the concerns or some of the advice possibly that you've given out, and what a perfect time, because this is Suicide Prevention Month. So I'm going to leave it up to you now to give us a little intro on you and how you've handled it, and how what are you doing on your time off? Isolation,
okay.
Pandemic.
Well, it has been challenging, to say the least. I am a registered nurse, and I did my training at New York University in New York City. And before I actually went to NYU Medical Center, I worked at a very challenging hospital in the South Bronx, which was probably the hospital where you see any and everything on any given day. So I had a lot of experience very early on in my career, really before I was an RN. And okay. It helped me to decide whether I was going to be an RN or not. But it was a very challenging, stressful, and educating, and definitely eye-opening.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised in March, actually, when I started getting phone calls, and it was really from fellow flight attendants who were flying from different places around the world where the pandemic had already hit. And some of them were apprehensive, afraid, nervous, and had anxiety
mm-hmm.
because of some things that people were saying and what was happening in the various countries, like China and Italy specifically, and they were, in a couple of cases, flying with a couple of colleagues who had some symptoms, so they was concerned as to whether or not they had this virus, and they was calling to ask me because they didn't want to ask the person directly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little challenging because I had to ask a lot of questions of them, and you know, when you're flying and you're under a stressful situation, you don't always remember everything.
Mm-hmm.
You remember some of it because of the stress that's involved. So as I began to get calls, I was basically following a lot of the stuff that the CDC was saying, but because I had a couple of contacts outside of the country, I would reach out to them, trying to see what they would do in other countries. And then everything that I would learn, I would share with them, basically
mm-hmm.
how important it was to wash your hands. And in some cases, I told them to get a mask and wear it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, Marion, it hasn't been approved by Delta yet. I said, well, you all need to get together and ask them to approve it because this is your health. You have to protect
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I encouraged
Absolutely.
Them not to go out as much on the layovers.
And you told them right. I mean, you know, and the thing of it is I think that we all need to do our own research sometimes. And I don't know about you, but I've always been, and I hated to say germophobic, but I always had my alcohol. I always had my sanitizer because we stayed in hotel rooms in Europe, and their standards sometimes were different than ours and sometimes better, sometimes worse. But I personally have never had the flu. I've never taken the flu shot. But I always feel like, you know, we are older now and certain things have to change. But it was some of the things that I looked up when you were telling them what you just said already. But, you know, we were going into or coming out of the flu season anyway. And my research showed that during the annual year that there's at least 12,000 people that would die, or I guess it's been documented that the average would be that 12,000 people would lose their lives from the flu, which I don't think anybody's ever paid any attention to those statistics. You know, someone sneezed, you knew to turn your head and you stayed out their way. But because we are so overwhelmed with this information from this person, that person, CDC, and everything else, which I still think is the best place to go, and we've lost so many people, then we've been more afraid of this. And so for the anxiety that these people were calling you and displaying, I'm glad that your calming voice and your calming information helped them, and I'm sure that it did.
Well, a lot of them, they did say it did help them. I mean, one flight attendant in particular, she says, well, I did take your advice. I did get some slack about the mask. I said, it's okay if you got slack. You're still here and you got to protect yourself. I said, keep pressing the issue when you go to work. And then eventually Delta did allow them to wear the mask.
Mm-hmm.
They were wearing gloves, but the mask was more important for this particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think it was really important, but they were still having the anxiety, I think, because of the passengers not wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
And how safe was the environment with the recirculant of the air on the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's well, and habit.
I spoke to some flight attendants, and did they later on reassure you that it was they felt safe? Did they eventually start to feel safe about flying?
Yes, they eventually did because they said the airplanes were being, you know, they were paying more attention to detail and cleaning for longer periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
And being with the recycling air, changing a lot of the filters with the filtration system on the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what I was told, and I think that made them a little more comfortable and gave them the confidence of still being able to go to work and not having as much anxiety. Because when you have a lot of anxiety, it causes your immune system to be compromised if you're staying that way for hours on end.
Oh.
And as you know, some of these flight attendants who go to places like South Africa, you know, that's a 15, 16-hour flight.
Yes. Well, I can't imagine
wearing a mask. And I've heard people
complain
about the mask, you know, having to wear the mask for hours. But think of, I mean, our flight attendants are our frontline workers as well.
Absolutely.
Because they're dealing with people every day that they go to work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the switchboard's all lit up, and I want to bring in a caller and see what they, the caller may have to say and add to our conversation. So if you don't mind, remember your point, but we'll get back to this. But let's take a caller and see what their comment might be. So just one moment, please.
Okay.
So here we go. Let's see who this person is. Hello, caller, and welcome to the Fly Girl Show. Do you have a comment or a question for Miriam today? Hello? They've been on hold for so long. I'm hoping, and you know, last week I had technical difficulty with this. So once again, hello, caller. Can you hear me? Okay. We're going to move off from this one, and we're going to go to another caller and give them an opportunity to ask a question. So let's see here if this one will work this time. But so just a moment. Hello, caller. This is Casey Grant. Can you state your name, and do you have a question or a statement? Hello? Hello? Now, Miriam, are you still here?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Okay, then. I don't know. That's interesting to me because that is a 770 area code, so that is in your side of town someplace, right?
Yes.
Okay, then. Well, let's see. Let's put them back on hold. I'm determined. I mean, all of these lights are just, it's like a Christmas tree here. So let's go and let's just find another one. This is a one that's even closer to you, I believe. This is a 678 area code. And so let me see if I can bring them in. Hello, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello. Yes, I can.
Oh, perfect, perfect. You know, three is the charming number. Would you like to state your name, and do you happen to have a comment or something you want to interject to our caller today?
This is Jonathan. I'm just calling to make a comment. I tuned in last week, and I just want to really say, you know, how awesome your show has been. It's been really informative. And yeah, I just like to listen in.
Well, let me ask you a quick question then. And since you did listen to my show last week, we were dealing with the effects of having to stay in. Can you just give us a little bit history on you? It doesn't have to be real personal, but has this affected you? Have you been able to do, are you in school? Are you working? Have you been able to kind of get out and socialize any? Or are you suffering from the pandemic shut-in blues?
I've been pretty much stayed inside basically because of my medical history.
Okay.
I've been pretty much staying inside and just trying to stay safe. So yeah, I've been basically, you know, keeping in contact with people through phone, through, you know, Facebook, Instagram, you know, just
okay.
Trying to not lose, you know, not lose all my, my social life completely.
Connection completely.
So, I've just been, as far as, you know, mentally, you know, since we're speaking about mental health, just trying to, you know, stay positive whenever I can. But for me, what helps me a lot is, you know, listening to music, watching, you know, funny movies, because I know it can be a drag, you know, staying in, looking at the same, you know, same walls for this amount of time. So that's about it.
Well, I'm glad that you got something from the show, and hopefully Miriam is going to, I'm going to bring her back in. But I really appreciate you calling in, Jonathan, so please continue to stay tuned, and hopefully you will be able to get some more pointers, because she seems to have been called upon from family and friends as to how to deal with this. But I really appreciate you calling in. Please stay tuned and listen to the rest of the show, and thank you once again for calling.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, all right. So, Miriam, that was interesting, and I'm glad that that person stayed on long enough that we could bring him in, because as the show was last week, we touched upon the effects of staying in. And once again, as I said, for those who may be just tuning in, you're not a medical expert, but you are in the medical field. And so when your friends or as flight attendants or crew members called, and your words of advice were, what were some of the things that you told them to do? The caller just said he listens to music and he's been watching TV, which we've all been doing that. But those were just some of the things that he, and he sounded like he probably is a little younger than both you and I. So at least that was reaching out to a younger audience as to what are they doing to handle it, because I think it's harder on them than it is on us.
Yeah, I think it can be challenging for some of our younger people who are so used to going out and doing things and meeting up with their friends, going out to dinner, lunch, just socializing, and having that come to a complete halt for some who are very social, you know, I call them social butterflies.
Yeah.
That's huge for them to go from doing that on a regular basis to come into a complete halt. It's like, well, what do I do now?
Yes. Yes.
And sometimes that is a difficult task, because if they're not used to, let's say, reading a good book, or some people, they like TV, but only to a point, and that can get on your nerves after a while. Unless
yes.
you are a real TV person, then that's really right up your alley. Or if you love listening to music, well, you could tap into some of your old stuff maybe that you hadn't heard in a while, and it might make you feel good. It might lift your spirits.
Absolutely.
I always say that each day comes with its own agenda. Some days are filled with pleasant surprises, while others are gloomy.
Absolutely.
Some days are such that we never want to forget, while there are
yeah.
others which we wish we would never have to remember. But no matter
how
our day goes,
yes,
it takes you to the next day.
And as my mother used to always say, just keep living. Because if you just, it's like anything else. It's like when they tell you if you're angry, you know, write a letter. Don't call the person up and say what's on your heart at the moment or on your mind. Give yourself 24 hours before you respond. And that is the type of advice that hopefully will be a lingering piece of advice for those. As we said, this is Suicide Month, and on TV today they were saying how the high suicide is from 18 to in their 30s, that there's been such a 1,000% increase in these phone calls that are coming in for suicide hotline. And as I said to you, speaking to a couple other people, because I really thought last week when I was having a bad week, one thing led to another, to another, to another, and I just thought it was just me. You know, as we used to say in our younger days, those PMS days, or or, you know, those days where you feel a little gloomy, and that was a cycle that you did have every month. But those days are so long gone. But the effects sometimes can still be there. But then I spoke to two other friends of mine, and I don't think that one person in particular, I don't believe that they had said it to anyone else until she and I started exchanging our symptoms. And you do. You cry and you can't stop crying. You're depressed and you don't really know why. And it is hard to motivate yourself to get up and get out. And with that, I want to ask you the leading question of some of these people that you have that have called you for advice. Hopefully none of them have been to the extreme of or contemplating suicide. But are you familiar with any other cases that people have told you about?
Yes, unfortunately. Luckily, the ones that I have helped, nobody has gone down that street. However, they've been in a very dark place, and it's sort of hard to wiggle out of it. And in trying to wiggle out of it, they'll say, I've gotten comments like, well, Marion, it's easier said than done. I said, but you must always try. You must always try. Keep trying. And if you keep trying, I know you're going to succeed. You will win that race. Now, recently, I've known of 5 different incidents of suicide, and they were all young men. 2 in the Bahamas, aged 20 and 21. 2 here. That was, one was just turned 20 and another one was 31. And one of the questions that I asked of the ones of 20 and 31 was, did they ever mention that they were in a dark place, or did they show any evidence of being in a dark place, or did they make comments that might have been dismissed by a friend or a family member, and they just said, oh, they're just talking. Because sometimes when we are talking, you know, people will say, oh, they're just talking, they didn't mean it. Well, sometimes people really do mean it, and they are reaching out for help.
Right.
But when they're pushed to the side and say, oh, you're just talking, you don't mean that, you're not going to do that, they feel nobody cares.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I think this is a time where we all must, I don't think you need to call the authorities each time someone says, oh, I'm just at a dark moment. Tell them to go take a walk around the block and get some fresh air, or just to change your environment. I mean, those might be simple solutions, but when you really are in a dark spot, I'm sure that that won't help. But that's when you should encourage them to reach out for professional help. And I'm going to post the hotline number on my website. So for any audience members that may be listening or someone that they know that is in a dark spot, please just go back to the website and get the national, or you can look it up yourself, the national hotline, suicide hotline number. And let's all just kind of pay attention to each other. I experienced years ago a friend of mine that did commit suicide. And you would never have known that they were in a dark spot all the time, because they were the funniest person you ever wanted to meet. They always were making you laugh. And she did tell me that she was going to do it. And I did all that I could do in giving her advice and being a friend. And all of us did, as a matter of fact, because there were several of us that rallied around her. And eventually she did do it. And as my doctor friend had said to me, he said, if they tell you they're going to do it, times they will end up doing it.
Yes. Yes, I totally agree with that, because that has been my experience as well. Years ago, a friend called, and she was telling me about a friend, and I was telling her, well, look, she's really reaching out. She's really calling for help. Why don't you just go over there and just sit with her for a little bit? Show her that you care, you know. And she was like, Marion, I'm tired. I don't really want to go. And she, you know, she was just sort of sighing. And I said, please, just go over there 10 minutes. just give her 10 minutes. She says, oh, maybe tomorrow. I said, okay. And next day she was gone. And I never forgot that.
No.
I never forgot that. And that was
And neither
like 30,
did the person that didn't go over
ago.
There. They've never forgotten that one either.
Oh,
they've
I'm
never,
sure. They did not.
Yeah.
Because she called me immediately and she said, well, you were right. And she was crying. And,
oh.
And I just was, I felt awful and I wish I could have held her and hugged her, but I was in one state and she was in another. So all
yeah.
I could do was console her on the phone.
Well, you,
but
you
one,
did
one
the
of
best
the things
that
that's real important. I'm sorry, Casey. One of the things that I just wanted to say that's real, real important are our words and how important it is to listen to each other. As I began to prepare for today, I came across something from Mahatma Gandhi that he said. He says, keep your thoughts positive because your thoughts become your words.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your words positive because your words become your behavior. Keep your habits positive because your habits become your values. Keep your values positive because your values become your destiny.
And we'll have you read that before we go off the air, too, because those are some things. If you only get half of that, they're still very penetrating and encouraging. And those are the type of things that we need during these days. I'm going to try one more time to get another caller because I hate that people have taken the time and maybe they're enjoying you. Maybe they don't want to say anything. I don't know, Miriam, but let's try one more call and see if we can get someone to respond and see if they have a question. Hello, caller. This is Casey. This is the Fly Girl Show. Do you have a comment? Hello? I think they were trying. Okay. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read off some of the area codes because I think it's interesting. This is a 239 area code that I was trying to bring in. So I'm not really sure where that's coming from, but my audience may know. And for that person that was trying to call in, please realize that I did try to bring you in. So I guess we're experiencing technical difficulty again. I'm going to try in to bring in 770, and that's Georgia. That's Atlanta, correct? Is that
yes.
Atlanta, Miriam?
Yes, that is.
Okay. Hello, caller.
Hello, this is Heather.
Oh, hello there. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Miss Casey. How are you?
I am PG Keene, and what a wonderful delight to hear your lovely voice today. Do you happen to have a question or comment for my wonderful guest today?
No, not a question, but I just wanted to add to some of the things that was shared today. And I guess I'm considered a millennial in terms of just for me and some of my friends and how we've coped. And, you know, it is hard because we're very much social. That is our life, you know, being very socially engaged. You know, social media is definitely very much a part of most of our everyday lives, even as it relates to careers. You know, they're leaning on it so much with that regard. So we have all had to adjust to still now finding ways to engage with each other outside of the what we were used to. So instead of, like you said, getting together for lunch and dinner, you know, it's getting together for a walk, you know, and still trying to not only get that social engagement but also doing physical activity for those of us that are not comfortable going back into the gyms and that type of thing. So you kind of serve in a dual purpose in that. And then just definitely being a listening ear, you know. We don't have we can't always get together. We can't travel for those of our friends that live in other cities and states, you know, and you can't just go see them as easily as we could before. So making time for, like, maybe a video call every now and then, you know, sometimes just seeing the person outside of just hearing their voice is helpful. And then just being encouraging. You know, I think this time has forced us all to have a lot of quiet time and things
yeah.
kind of settled down. And so in that, it forces you to kind of think about things that you may have been putting on the back burner or things that have resurfaced that maybe you were trying to suppress. So it's important for people to know that it's okay to have not only just a listening ear and a friend, but also in a professional mental health professional, and making sure that you know that those resources are there, and it's not a stereotype like it used to be to say that I have a counselor or I have a therapist. That those people, those resources are there. They are professionally trained, and it has. I've heard many occasions, and I know from just talking to people that they have definitely seen an influx during this time in people reaching out, you know, to just get a part of their, you know, weekly or monthly routine to just have those sessions and speaking to a professional to help them get professional ways to cope and just, you know, express whatever it is that they may be dealing with.
Well, you know, I'm glad you went from A to Z on what I really wanted to pick at. I want to take a little from this and a little from that you said, because number one, you are younger. Number two, you're absolutely right. The social media has been you guys' a network of communicating anyway. You know, Miriam and I are of a different generation, and we like that touch, and we like to socialize and everything. And I know you do too. So with that being said, you've gone from that, and you've talked about the stigma of seeking out medical, which is not a stigma any longer. It shouldn't be, because we all need to reach out for help. Give my audience, and then I'm going to get back to Miriam, and we're going to just go and elaborate on that. Tell me what you have done besides clean out your closet, clean out your drawers, because we've all done that one. What else have you done? Either reinvented yourself, taking up maybe a language. What else have you done to help make it through the pandemic? So we can start with that, and then I'm going to get back to Miriam. So tell me, what have you done that maybe someone else hadn't thought about doing?
Sure. Well, let's see. So definitely some different ways of keeping myself active. You know, I have not been able to go to my workout classes like I typically have, so finding other resources to do that online and do it from home, or, you know, go for a walk when the weather is nice. So looking into different things, and social media plays a big part in that, because oftentimes I have found, you know, a trainer or a class through Instagram or Facebook, and then I can watch it live and plan it to do it, and also do it sometimes with my friends, and we'll do it together. So that's a kind of, again, that dual purpose. But also, again, with finding things online and maybe a class that may be a new skill that I can find. I know Amazon had a career day last week. I tuned into that to just hear any refresh yourself. You know, the job market is always, you know, giving new tips and new trends of things that can help refresh you or just give you new ideas of approaching your search or how you present yourself. And so those types of things are helpful. So just finding different classes to tune into sometimes. Some of them are just, you know, like an hour session. And those things, just to give you something to hear, engage with, and give you different perspectives on whatever that topic may be. So I find that helpful. And then just really finding different ways to engage with family and friends that are in different cities. We have had some family milestones and celebrations to engage, but rather than just say, oh, we'll just celebrate later, because with this pandemic, you kind of don't know how far that later is going to be into the future. So we have done Zoom celebrations for various things, you know. And, I mean, before, let's be honest, before 2020 March, nobody was really knew what Zoom was or wasn't that familiar with it, if you had heard of it. But, I mean, we all have gotten ourselves acquainted with Zoom to engage, not just for meetings, but we've celebrated an uncle who turned 90 just last month. And so that's a beautiful thing, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to see him or other family members that were joined in, and it really just was great to be able to celebrate these occasions rather than just not and it just be a phone call, but in the creative ways that you can, you know, celebrate. I've even learned how to do a video presentation from pictures and making it into a video and added music and wording for my aunt's retirement celebration. So I was really proud and had to tap myself on the back for that, because that was something that I had not done before.
I love it. I love it. And I'm going to get back to my Miriam, the person I'm interviewing today. But I wanted to just tag off on that and thank you so much for calling and interjecting your ideas, because you gave such positive, energized ideas that I'm hoping that the audience will take note. So with that, thank you so much for calling. And I'm going
yes,
to go
ma'am.
Back. And if you thank you so much and enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I love that, Heather. She is a sweetheart, and I'm so glad she took the time and stayed on because, you know, with this technical difficulty. But we've got two great people to interject ideas. And with that, this is where I kind of did want to lead it. You know, we've talked about the downside of the pandemic. You're in the house and you just, and yes, I've cleaned my closet. Yes, I've organized my cabinets. So we've done all those things, which is what everybody starts off with. I love Heather's ideas of that video. It was really interesting because that's that creative little spark that maybe people don't even know. And YouTube has everything. So with that, I'll just tell the audience I am writing my second book. I also started a Wind Down Wednesday. So it's a book club for stars in the sky. And it was on Zoom. And it was very successful. And that was a great, great session. So I'll tell people more about that. Miriam, what have you done that you, did you learn something new? Are you creating something? I know you cleaned your closets out because that's what we do first. tell my audience, what else have you done to uplift your spirits?
Well, one of the things that I have been doing now for a while that I find great pleasure in is that in the mornings, I try to send inspirational messages out to different people. And I try to do that at least every other day, but definitely once a week. And then I target certain people who may be ill and who's going through something. I sort of will send them a little more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was dealing with a couple of people going through cancer. And so going through cancer and the pandemic, it's a lot. You know,
yeah.
Going through one or the other is more than enough by itself, but having to do it both was also challenging. So just sending out a lot of inspirational messages, and then I, too, sometimes will sit down and write something, and then I'll decide, well, am I going to send this to them, or am I going to keep it, or am I going to save it to when I think the time is right. So I've always enjoyed writing, but I enjoy writing positive things. Like how I said, the sun is shining. The sun, a lot of times people don't realize it really does have an effect on people. I mean,
yeah.
I'm always energized when it's sunny and bright. And when it's gloomy, it does affect my mood and my attitude. So I will not be as energetic on a gloomy day as I am on a sunny day.
Well, that's
and
a real condition.
Go ahead.
That's a real condition because
say,
what
going
they call
forward,
do you, I'm sorry?
You were saying about the sun?
It's a real condition where people, their personalities or their moods are affected by the weather.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. There is something called seasonal depression. It's an affective mm-hmm. disorder that's characterized by the onset of depression during the
mm-hmm.
winter months when mm-hmm. there is less natural sunlight. This depression generally lifts during spring and summer. That's why you notice when spring starts, everybody starts getting out and they wanting to do this and they want to do that and they want to go here and they want to go there. But of course, this year, you know, COVID put a halt on going here and there.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You can always get in your car and take a drive somewhere.
Well,
just
and
to make
you know,
yourself
that's
feel
what
good.
I did. That's what I did. I put my sunroof down, and I'm telling you, the sun kissed my cheeks because they were tingling all day. But I did just that. I played my music. I took a long drive. My car had been sitting for a while, so it was good for the car. It was good for me. And I was able to do my praying and my thinking. And when I got back, I mean, you know, you go one way, and you're bogged down with all the burdens of everything. And then you're coming back home and you're lifted and you see the sunshine and you see the birds. And so that's one thing I would say, if you don't have anything else and you don't have a car, maybe you just need to take that walk around the block, because you never know what else is new around the corner that you haven't been able to see since the pandemic. So with all of this, your input and Heather's, her words, and I like it when the younger people have called in, because, you know, when you're a senior citizen, our lives are limited to what we were comfortable in doing anyway. So this pandemic maybe hasn't affected us as noticeably as it has for the younger generation, because I don't know about you, but after I've gotten out in the morning, by mid-afternoon, I'm ready to stay home, watch the news, and I don't even want to watch the news anymore, but watch a good movie and just relax. And so I'm fine.
Yeah, and I think watching a good movie is always good for the soul.
Yes, it is. Put your feet up.
Lift you up.
And yes, indeed. And yes, it has. It has. So for that, I want you to read the passage that Gandhi said as a closing. Is there anything else that you think you might want to interject? I think we've gone from, we recognize that this is a very awkward time or depressing, can be depressing, but there's also the flip side of, we can come out of this on a positive note, because you may reinvent yourself, you may create, you even have time to put in for another job, even though we understand that that is not a very stable field at the moment either, but you may want to just think about how you might want to reinvent yourself. And for you, Miriam, I hope that all the people that have called you, I hope that they haven't drained your battery.
No, they haven't drained my battery. When I feel like my battery is getting drained, I take and put it on pause.
Okay.
And then I just take a break so that I can rejuvenate my own self. And I do a lot of praying, and I really do ask God to help me with each person really that I help, and to guide me in every step that I take so that I can be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm only going to add to the problem, then I'm not really being a very good source.
Well, that's part of
by
your
bringing
oath,
them
isn't
down.
It? Isn't that part of the medical oath, do no harm?
Yes.
With it.
Yes.
So, you know, no matter what, when you were a flight attendant, we were there to serve. In the medical field, I mean, you did two professions that were really about you being the angel that you are and always being there and willing to help and give advice. Whether they sit there and just look at you and you listen to them, that's very soothing, because that's your spirit and that's your personality. So I'm sure that everyone who has called you has left feeling better.
Well, I do hope so, you know. But one of the things I did want to add, Casey, before I go back to Mahatma Gandhi's saying, is, you know, for some of our, I don't know, some of the callers might be parents or grandparents helping with younger teens, is that our teens are also having difficulty with them being stuck in the house and not being able to socialize with their friends like they're used to. And some of them who may be dealing with, you know, a parent now who has taken on alcohol because that was their way of dealing with the situation, because, you know, they have to do online classes and helping with homework and doing things that they weren't not used to doing as well. And so some of them have turned to alcohol or to drugs that necessarily self-medicating. And so as a result, that has caused some of our young people, you know, who are in school now dealing with these additional problems. So one of the things I just wanted to add to that is, because they might see this, to let them know, one, they're not the cause, and to remember the seven C's. See, as in Charlie, I didn't cause it, I can't cure it, I can't control it, I can take better care of myself by communicating my feelings. making healthy choices, and celebrating myself. Because the self-esteem in these teens is real important during this time. And, you know, those who are in high school, either a junior or a senior, they got a lot on their plate, which they're having to deal with in a whole different avenue of what they had seen prior to.
Exactly. Exactly. I love all of that. You've given, I picked the right person for the interview today. And, you know, you've come from inspirational words and kindness and just words of wisdom. And as I said before, and I'll say again, no, you are in the medical field. No, this is not your expertise. But you are, it is your expertise because you have lived life. You've been through difficult times in your life. You knew where your source came from. And my source and your source is, you know, prayer is the thing that gives us strength. And for those that, whether you want to call it praying or meditating, however it is, sometimes you have to just be centered. And I think the pandemic has done that. It has made us all stay still. Appreciate what you do have. Look forward to having something different. Enrich what you do have. And we are going to come through this. It's just that we have to take each day at a time and realize if you're having a bad moment, it will not last forever. So, and also I would like to say, too, for those that are struggling, if you find that calling Miriam is not helping, calling me is not helping, please reach out and get medical, get professional help, because the sun is going to shine again in your house and in your spirit and in your soul. So please don't give up. This pandemic is not going to last forever. So with that, I would like to have you read those encouraging words once again. And if there's anything that you would like to leave us with besides that, please do so. And then at that point, we're going to close this show. And I know people got a lot. The switchboard is lit up. But I know that those who have stayed on and listened to you, these words of wisdom, that they are taking something away with them today. So take your time, read it for us, and let us all just absorb everything that you're saying.
Okay. Now, these are Mahatma Gandhi's words that I choose to adopt. Keep your thoughts positive because your thoughts become your words. Keep your words positive because your words become your behavior. Keep your habits positive because your habits become your values. Keep your values positive because your values be your destiny.
I
encourage
it.
Everyone to reach out and touch somebody maybe that they hadn't talked to in a while. You might have thought about them, but just don't think about them. Give them a call. Let them know that you're thinking about them, because you never know how one small group of words can change a person's day. I just recently was giving out some cancer care packages right before the shutdown, and I decided to divide them between two different facilities. And that was at the very last minute. It was not planned. And at the facility that was not on my list, I gave them out. And a lady, I just gave it to her and says, you know, this is just a thoughtful gift to help you get through this time. And she left and she came back and she said, would you mind if I give you a hug? You just don't know what that meant to me. And I was like, okay. And we hugged and she says, I am so indebted to you. Thank you so much for sharing this with me. And, I mean, her passion and what she was saying, because I didn't think it was that, you know, it deserved all of that. But that was from my view. In her view,
yes.
It was more.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what words of kindness and a kind deed and a smile, you never know. You know, we're all learning how to smile with our eyes now. With this mask on, you can see the twinkle in the eye. You can see the eye contact. And so we're all learning how to use our eyes and be more expressive. And it really is working because I I have been offended because people looked away. And it was like, well, I can't see the rest of your face. You could at least make eye contact. Raise that eyebrow a little bit. That just shows signs of excitement that you're, you know, happy to see another person. But I know you're doing your work because that's what you do. It didn't take a pandemic, Marion, for you to do what you do. And please continue to be who you are, because you are heaven sent and you are truly, truly a good friend. And I do cherish our friendship. And with that, I think that we will put a closure to this show, but not a closure to your goodwill and your good deeds. But I am going to close the show for today, and I appreciate you taking time and being on the Fly Girl Show today.
Well, thank you for having me, Casey. I enjoyed it. It's always an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. And so for the audience, I hope that you – I know you got something out of it. I'm not even going to say I hope. I know you got something out of this show. And, you know, one of the things that I want to say over and over again, if you don't feel – that you can come out of that dark spot, that dark space, please seek out professional help, because we're going to make it through this pandemic. We all are going to need some type of counseling, whether it's just getting a hug from someone that you haven't had. That's so therapeutic. My niece came and spent some time with me, and to have a hug from someone just brought back life for me. And so for those, I hope that you will take advantage of listen to the show. Listen to those wonderful words of encouragement that Miriam just read. They are words of encouragement. And so there is another day. There is still sunshine tomorrow. As Scarlett O'Hara said in Gone with the Wind, I'll think about it tomorrow, and there is always another day. So please take time, reach out and touch someone, and please join me next week when I will have another show for you. I don't know what the topic will be, but you can better believe it's going to be something that's going to be interesting, enlightening, and it's going to you leave the show knowing something different and opening up your mind to a different point of view. So with that, I am going to sign off. This is Casey Grant. I am the host of the Fly Girl Show, and I hope that you will return and tune in next week. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.